This is the Pro Hockey West Report, brought to you by Toyota. Support the dealers that support hockey in your community for your next car. Desert Toyota in Tucson, Peterson Toyota in Fort Collins, Toyota of the Desert in Cathedral City, California, and Finlay Toyota in Las Vegas. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos. Find out how to go full Caesar. Visit Caesars.com for eligibility requirements. FedEx. Simplify your business shipping with FedEx, the official shipping company of Icetime Hockey West. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, award-winning barbecue at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. Visit us at jessereysbarbecue.com. T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and see how you can lock in your rates forever. Jet's Pizza, with six different crusts and countless toppings, let your imagination go wild. And by the Caesars Sportsbook app, an official partner of the NHL. The Pro Hockey West Report is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Stephen Marsh.
Well, welcome in, hockey fans, anywhere that you may be listening to us tonight live on the Podbean app to the Pro Hockey West Report. Scott Strandy with you tonight from St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah, we missed last week's show due to our coverage of the American Collegiate Hockey National Tournament, the ACHA National Tournament. My co-host, as always, joining me from that big, beautiful championship city, which is Las Vegas. And Stephen, how are you tonight? And my voice is a little raspy. As you can tell, it's been a long week of talking.
You talk a lot.
Yeah, I'm doing way too much on all of this, but
well, you've been doing a lot of this week with the. We did a show every day during the ACHA National Championships, men's one tournament, and then of course you've done your regular podcast as well, and now we're doing this podcast. Plus, you've done all those interviews and after most of the games. So, yeah. Plus, the weather there's a little dicey today. Correct.
Yeah, we had some tornadoes. We had some hail. We had
good
some
old Midwest weather.
Thunderstorms. Oh, yeah.
Don't have to worry about that out here in Las Vegas. Just a little bit of wind
don't
today.
Miss it a bit.
61-degree temperature today. It was windy today. Maybe a little bit. I think at Summerlin there was a little tiny bit of snow droplets, but nothing too bad.
Well, we had 80 degrees, actually 83 before the thunderstorms hit, and it's still like in the 70s, so can't complain about the temperature part of things, but
well, that's perfect hurricane weather because it's warm and it that's how everything gets kind of kicked up and everything with the clashing of the warm and the put my weatherman hat on here if I've correctly got this right, the warm and the cold air clash, and that's how you kind of get some of this dicey weather at times.
Yeah, I can tell you that about 11, 12 hours to the west of us in Denver and in Castle Pines, my favorite place. There is
about 28
inches of snow on the ground, and you can't get in and out of Colorado right now. They hope it's going to end and seize up, but I know you couldn't get from Castle Pines down to Colorado Springs, without road closures. So
that's where you were heading. That's where you were supposed to be heading to, right? Weren't you going to leave St. Louis and head up that way?
Yeah, I was supposed to go back to Colorado for the NCHC quarterfinal round of playoffs, which would have been which will still be Colorado College hosting Omaha, best 2 out of 3 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday if necessary, and University of Minnesota Duluth is making the trip to Denver, or has made the trip to Denver, and they will play up there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday if needed. But here's the big thing. The winners of these four quarterfinal NCHC series will all meet in St. Paul, Minnesota on Thursday for their annual awards dinner, and then Friday and Saturday to compete in the semifinals and the final of the NCHC tournament. And then Sunday is the selection show. We'll know who's in the NCAA tournament for sure and where they're playing. And I'll be back to St. Louis, it looks like.
So, might as well just not leave St. Louis.
back there. Well, I got to. Well, I got to cover the Frozen Four.
Well, you got to go to Minnesota. And it's always a good opportunity to see some of your family that lives up in Minnesota too. So
yeah, correct. And then once I leave there, after the Frozen face-off for the NCHC, then I'll come to St. Louis for the NCAA regional here, and then before I head back for the Frozen Four, which just so happens to be in St. Paul as well, I may make a trip down to Atlanta and see our good friend John Camp. It's only about 9 hours from where I'm at right now, and for me, that's nothing.
Well, you could be you. Well, that would be good. You could go to Atlanta. Maybe it's the future home of an NHL team once again. There was a big push for that.
Yeah, definitely would be doing that too.
Just because, like, I could go to Salt Lake, where we're probably going to get a team there at some point, whether it be an existing team or a new team. We don't know.
Well,
yet.
You know, one thing with Atlanta, they're getting a team. It's just a matter of when, because they're building a new arena.
Well, and backed by Anson Carter too, who's kind of leading the charge for that, who's well respected in the league.
Yeah, well, and I already know the guy that's in charge of building the arena. He left his job at Arizona State to head the building of the new arena in Atlanta. So I'll stop in and see Frank, hopefully too, and get a load on that.
And see, that would make, I mean, even though the commissioner has said, well, we're, you know, a lot of teams are interested and everything is, you know, and there's a lot of thing with the Arizona Coyotes situation, which we won't get into because I know that gets your blood boiling. But if there's going to be a push for Atlanta, I think it only makes sense that we could have a Western expansion one more time. And of course, there's a big push for Salt Lake. So it's probably possible that we get Salt Lake and Atlanta would be the two markets that would get a team. And it would kind of still even out. You'd get a team that can be on the West Conference and you got a team that can be on the East Conference. You know, whether we don't know what's going to happen with the Arizona situation, that kind of throws it into a flux, whether they end up moving out of Arizona to somewhere else, or if they can get their act together there and get this. Well, let's just spend a couple minutes on that. So update us on the Coyotes situation. They're looking at some land in North Phoenix, right? And they got a vote that they're going to go ahead and put a bid on it, right, or something like that.
Well, yeah, this is the deal. They're looking at land.
We're starting off on a great note here.
Yeah, they're looking at land north of the 101 freeway in Arizona, up on the north end of the Phoenix Metro Valley. If you've ever been up there, it's open land. Okay, it's owned by the state, so it's a state land sale. But if you look around, it's very close to the TPC Scottsdale, which of course is the home of the PGA golf tournament every year.
The Waste Management Open.
Yep, and there are a bunch of major companies that have built buildings there and have bought land. So there's a number of key players in this land. So let's not confuse this with the land that they were trying to purchase in Tempe. That was a landfill. Nobody wanted that land because it was a landfill, and they knew there was a ton of cleanup involved. So that's why nobody put bids in on that land. I will tell you right now, I will be shocked if there aren't several suitors bidding for this land because where it is. They're starting the bids at $68 million.
Oh, that's nothing that's nothing for Mr. Marullo.
Yeah, right. So he would have to bid. He'd have to, first of all, win the bid. He got the right today to bid, which was a process in itself. You had to qualify.
So that was what was today. Is he got the vote that he's going to be he can bid on
that he's able to bid
when it comes up for that time.
Yep, and that's a pre-qualification thing where they check to find out if you can afford it before you start. I mean, it's not like
he can afford it.
It's not like you and I can go up there and go like, yeah, we want to bet on this, and then they know that you don't have the cash to do it.
Well, with our budget, so, yeah, we don't have the we wouldn't be able to get it. We couldn't build we couldn't build the Ice Time Studios there, that's for sure.
So anyway, he got the ability to put the bid in. Now, whether he wins the bid or not, that's the first step. Personally, I don't think he's going to be able to win the bid because I think there's too many people that want that land. Secondly is, should he win the bid, then he would be able to start building it, which is going to take time. Here's the caveat in this whole thing. They told ASU we would need a 2-year contract with an option for a third year. They're finishing up year two right now. Even if they win that bid, Stephen, and even if they put shovels in the ground to start building it, 2 days later, which is never going to happen. But if they did do that, you're talking about another two, maybe three seasons of playing at Mullet Arena.
Is the league going to allow that to happen? Continue to play at Mullet Arena and the PA and everything? I mean, they've bent over backwards for them for 2 years, but they're missing out on so much revenue for only playing with 4,600 seats or however that arena holds.
Yeah, they're losing out on regular season revenue, but they're also losing out on playoff revenue, and they dodged a bullet this year. The Coyotes kind of went in the tank.
I know. I was hoping they would make the playoffs just to see the craziness of it.
So they're not going to the playoffs.
But what if they should make the playoffs in future years?
That's what I mean. That's what the PA is going to step in my estimation, and say, listen, we dodged a bullet this year, but the Coyotes are on the rise, and they could make a playoff spot next year or the year after or the year after that. And then we're going to be dealing with this issue again about how do we handle it. So I believe there will be a resolution before the end of the year that would get them moved to Salt Lake City. And then I believe that there'll be two new expansion teams, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say one is Atlanta, and I'm going to say the second one is probably Houston, and they will come in not simultaneously but within a year or two of each other to keep the balance of the NHL going. You know, they don't like to have odd numbers in each conference, and Houston would go to the Western Conference, and Atlanta would go to the Eastern Conference.
That's why it's so nice right now, because there's eight in each division, and there's eight in the two divisions in the Western Conference. There's eight teams in each division in the Eastern Conference. You got 16 teams, you got 32 teams, so it's nice and even.
Yep.
So even if you expand only two teams, you're going to have there'll be an imbalance in divisions, but there'll be still an even amount in each conference.
Right, and the plan would be then to add two more teams. And I'm going to say Quebec City would get that, and who knows? Somebody in the West would get a team, when that could be Portland. It could be, you know, who knows? I don't even want to speculate that
far. Maybe Arizona, if they do get the building, they can.
Not
they
that
can
get fast. They can not get that fast.
Well, I mean, down fast. The road, though. I mean, down the road.
Maybe. Maybe. But I don't think
Because it could happen, because Atlanta used to have a team and then they moved out, and now they're going to finally get a franchise back there. Winnipeg has lost teams and have gotten a franchise back, so Arizona could lose theirs and go somewhere else, and then eventually they could get a team back there when they have the stability to be able to have it.
Right. That's exactly what will happen. The opportunity is there because they want that TV market, the NHL does. So it'll definitely happen at some point in time, but we're talking a decade probably. That's a long time. We'll see. I just think that's the road that they're headed on. Again, that's my opinion. If somebody wants to challenge it, I'm more than willing to take them on. That's what I've been told. That's what I think. So anyway,
well, don't tell Craig Morgan that. He may not be happy to hear your pessimism.
No, I think he knows it. I think he knows it. He just can't say it, but
he's excited. He's excited about the West Coast Conference of the NCAA hockey.
That's not happening with
UNLV's on the rise in the ACHA ranks. And there's the hope that there's going to be more NCAA teams out west, and that we can have a West Conference for the NCAA.
That's not happening.
We're getting off on way too many tangents. I guess we should steer the ship back into what we're going
to
talk
about. We better, because we have AHL stuff to talk about in the Pacific Division, without a doubt. But before we do that, let's jump into the NHL trade deadline, which was last Friday. And a lot of teams, especially in the West, I thought made some interesting moves, to say the least. Your thoughts on what you saw coming out of the Western Conference of the NHL and the trade deadline?
Well, I think it's obvious there's some teams that really are going for it. I mean, just the moves that they've made. I mean, you look at we're looking through the list here again of what happened, and this is just on trade deadline day. But I mean, look at the Predators, who have been playing really well lately. They picked up Jason Zucker from the Coyotes, and you've got the Coyotes that are kind of like maybe trying to transitional, because they also the Coyotes also gave up Matt Dumba, and he went to the Lightning. So the Lightning are trying to get better, but yeah, I mean the Predators. And then you got some teams that are kind of, you know, looking to kind of build the roster for the future and pick up assets, maybe some good young players, maybe get rid of some players that are kind of on towards the end of contracts that are eating up a lot of cap space or kind of aging out and want to try to stock up for the future. You know, the Ducks picked up a guy like Ben Myers, he was in the Colorado organization, and so he goes to the Ducks. And we saw the Ducks make several trades throughout the day on trade deadline day, but not necessarily on the deadline day. You know, and you look at, there was some that the Oilers, I think, really positioned themselves. They're trying to, obviously, they really feel like now that they have been playing really well, they're trying to really go for it, of course. And they picked up a guy like Troy Stetcher, a defenseman, again, from the Coyotes. So the Coyotes shipping a lot of people out at the deadline. But yeah, I mean, you look at Beauvillier going to the Predators around the trade deadline, and of course, what happened in here in Vegas? Vegas, of course, does what they always do, kind of make the big move. Sometimes a surprising move. They made three around the deadline, and one on the deadline day, and a couple kind of around that deadline time. You know, picking up Noah Hanifin from the Flames. In fact, they're playing right now, the Golden Knights and the Flames, as we're recording this. And then they also picked up, Mantha and from the Capitals. And then, and of course, they're able to do this because Stone has been LTIR because he's going to be out the regular season with that lacerated spleen, as we got confirmation from that from McCrimmon, the general manager. And, of course, the big one, of course, is Tomas Hertl. They picked up Tomas Hertl from the Sharks. And, you know, they only have to give up really – you know, a couple of prospects. They gave up Daniil Mirimanov in the Hanifin trade. Daniil Mirimanov goes to Calgary, and he's getting some more time there now with Calgary. And then you've got and then giving up some draft picks, and then in the Hertl trade, they only give up Edstrom and a couple of a first round pick in 2025, and then they actually picked up a couple of third round picks in that trade. The thing with Vegas that's so amazing is that they get some of these teams to retain some of the salary, so it doesn't go as much on the cap. That Vegas is kind of always kind of right there at the top. And of course, there's been a lot of hubbub about, is Vegas doing anything nefarious? You know, kind of doing any, are they cheating? Are they doing, you know? But everything is within the rules, and you know, if they decide they want to change the rules, it's, you know, Vegas is using it to their advantage. They think that Vegas is all of a sudden faking the Stone injury so they could just keep him out until the playoffs. So, you know, it's just kind of interesting. But yeah, there's been some good moves. I don't know what's kind of stuck out to you at the deadline.
Well, I'll tell you right now, a couple of things stuck out to me. Ben Myers going to the Ducks. Obviously, Greg Cronin knows a lot about Ben Myers, likes him a lot, had him in the Colorado Eagles organization. So that didn't surprise me at all. He's going to be a really good addition to the Ducks, I think. In addition, I think the team that surprised me the most in the way that they made bold moves, kind of in addition to Vegas, was the Sharks. The Sharks went out and got Vitek Vanacek. They got Devin Cooley, I think is a shocker as a goaltender. They need goaltending help. Magnus Krona's been up playing and got his first start and win recently. And they're not giving up a lot. They got David Edstrom, as you said, from the Golden Knights on the Thomas Hertl deal.
And they got Klim Kloston in a trade with Detroit.
They did. Yep. So they've made a lot of moves. I think the other thing that's interesting is the Coyotes just shedding guys. I mean, they were so proud, quote, and I'm using air quotes, to say that they signed Matt Dumba and they signed Jason Zucker. Neither one of them lasted a year in the Coyotes organization, and they're already gone.
I mean, it was – the Coyotes were kind of looking at a team that maybe was going to be able to surprise people and get into the playoffs. They were kind of on – they were in a wild card spot or kind of right around that, but then it really just went south for them, and they couldn't win a game for, like, the longest time and still haven't won too many games really since the break happened. And so, yeah, it's kind of interesting. They went – the position to get those guys and sign them in the offseason and pick them up, and then they end up trading them away to try to get, you know, get young.
And Steven, all they did was get draft picks again. I mean, how many
how many years can you continue with draft picks? At some point in time, they have to mature, and they picked up two more in their trades that I saw this at the deadline. So they added more draft picks, and they're not low draft picks, sixth, seventh rounders, maybe a fourth rounder for Torrey Stetcher. But, the chances of you hitting on those type of players are pretty slim. So you're getting rid of salary again, and you're already at the floor of the cap. I'm a little surprised at that. I think the Avalanche as well did some good moves. I like what they did in picking up some players and draft picks. And they got Sean Walker and a 2026 fifth round pick for Ryan Johansson, who just wasn't great, but he was just didn't really become the player that they thought he was going to be in Colorado. Casey Mittelstadt comes over from the Sabres. I think that's a huge pickup for the Avalanche. It's going to make a difference for them. And you look down the list, I mean, the Wild, again, picking up draft picks, they're kind of in the same Coyote mode. They just they trade quality players for draft picks. And
that was kind of surprising because they're kind of right on the outside right now of a playoff spot, but they're not out of the wild card spot by any means. They've been kind of surging a little bit, and if you look at the standings right now, they are at 73 points. They are only 4 points behind the Golden Knights for that last wild card position, and of course, Golden Knights have a couple games in hand. But the Golden Knights just are now down 2-1 to Calgary, so possible the Golden Knights could lose that game, and so it's only a 4 point difference. So Minnesota's not out of it by any means. They've won 3 in a row. They're 6-3-1 in their last 10 games. So it's kind of surprising that they made those kind of moves when they're still in it. But again, you also have to think about the future, what you want to see your team go down the future, and what you want your roster to look like and build for the future.
I'm going to give you one more team that I think surprisingly got better. They're already pretty good. The Winnipeg Jets picked up Colin Miller from the Devils. The Winnipeg Jets also made a trade earlier, and let me see here. I'm trying to make sure I get. Oh, they got Tyler Toffoli, who player that everybody loves to hate, from the Devils as well. And Tyler Toffoli is a difference maker on the East side of things. The Wild gave up Pat Maroon, which I thought was going to be one of the guys that they would lean on coming down the stretch if they did make the playoffs. So, you know, there's a lot of things here. The Hurricanes got Jake Guentzel and Ty Smith in a Penguins deal, where the Penguins picked up Michael Bunting and a few other players and a bunch of picks. But
The Penguins are just completely
they gutted. Boy. They gutted completely, didn't they?
Well, and you got Crosby, who's kind of, I don't know how many years left he's got, and you know, there's a lot of question about what is he going to do. Is he going to stick it out and be a Penguin for his whole career, or is he going to try to go? Going to try to maybe go somewhere where he has a chance to maybe win another cup in his career. I mean, he's got three already, which is great, but if he wants to try to get one more, it doesn't seem like the Penguins are going to be in a position for a while to contend. It seems like they're kind of doing a rebuild kind of mode now and selling a lot of their players.
And I think the Seattle Kraken didn't make many moves, but trading Alex Wenberg to the Rangers and picking up a second round pick, conditional 2025 fourth round pick, and getting Dallas to retain 50% of Wenberg's salary was pretty sweet on the Kraken end of things. So a lot of good things to look at coming down the stretch. We haven't talked much about this, but the draft will be in Las Vegas at the Sphere.
That is confirmed, yes. Are you excited?
So there'll be a lot of guys getting picked. And one I want to go back to way back January 8th, Cutter Gauthier, the left winger that has Flyers property, playing now in Boston College, I think. Cutter Gauthier is going to the Ducks, and he'll be in the lineup as soon as Boston College season is done here in a couple of weeks. He might be an NCAA champion by that time, but he will more than likely jump right to the Ducks, and they did that trade for Jamie Drysdale. There's a bunch of things that have happened along the trade line and fronts. But I wanted to get back and talk about this this Vegas deal, because goodness gracious, like you said, how do they get teams to retain salary and be able to make it fit under the cap? I mean, there's got to be something that they're doing that other teams haven't figured out how to do yet, because that's a big step. That's the only way that they can make those kind of moves. Forget about the LITR. It's a LTIR. It's the it's the fact that they're getting teams to make trades and retain salary.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the surprising thing. I think it comes down to what is a team. I mean, was it the Mantha deal, or is it one of the deals that's or the Hanifin deal, where there's a third team involved? I think it's in the Hanifin deal. Yes, yeah, so Hanifin comes to the Golden Knights. Mimir Manov goes to the Golden Knights. No, it goes to Vancouver. Goes to Calgary. Let me try this again. Goes to Calgary, and they get a couple of conditional third-round pick. But the Flames retain 50% of the salary. But then you also have the Flyers, who don't get anything. They get a fifth-round pick from VGK for 2024, but they're retaining 25% of Hanifin's salary. So Flyers are retaining 25% of Hanifin's salary, and Flames are retaining 50% of the salary. So that means Noah Hanifin's only going to be 75. So now this contract expires after this year, so it's only for the rest of this season. But that's the interesting one. And then the hurdle one is a real head scratcher for me of why San Jose is doing this, unless they really, they have that kind of capability, and maybe they wanted a deal away Hurdle. This is kind of a surprising one because Hurdle still has quite a bit of time left on his deal. I think he had just re-signed it a year or so ago, so he still has like 6 years or so left on that deal, and it's quite a bit of money, and it's a very specific number because it's how it's going to fit in the cap. But 17% is being retained by the Sharks, so that's over the life of the contract. So I mean, that's and that's surprising that they would do that within a divisional opponent. But when you can get a draft pick out of it, and that's what you, if you're trying to build up stock for draft picks, or using them for future deals, then that's what. And the other thing amazing about this, about these deals, is they didn't really have to. I mean, a lot of people say, well, the draft picks, that could be, they're going now, for the future. They're not going to have a lot of these high draft picks for the future. But the main thing is they didn't really have to give up any of their main players. Nobody on their main roster. I mean, they gave up Mirror Man up, but he was kind of down in the depth chart a little bit now that they're getting their defenseman back. And they gave up Edstrom, who was their high-priced draft pick from last year, but he was 32nd because they were the champs. But there's still a lot of people are high on him, and the Sharks seemed excited to have him. But he hasn't played any pro games yet. But they didn't have to give up anybody on their main roster. They didn't have to give up anybody that's playing in Henderson. There was maybe talk, maybe there was hubbub that, to get get a big deal done, that they would have to give up a Bersan or somebody that's high in their organization. But they didn't have to give up any of their main guys, and they just only got better and stuff. So. It's amazing that they are able to pull that off and not really have to give up much in regards to the current makeup of the team.
That's really amazing. And that's just
although it's not helping them tonight because they just gave up another goal. It's now 3-1 Calgary in the third period.
Well, they got to get it together. They got to start playing together. So. I'm just not going to count them out at this point.
No, but
I think they
got Carrier back tonight.
They just need a little time.
Carrier's back tonight. They just got Howden back. Dorfey has returned. They got these new guys. So, maybe they're going to get something together. But that was the one thing that was kind of surprising is they didn't go after a goaltender, which means that they feel like they have the confidence in the goaltenders that they have. But really, they've been kind of subpar at times. Now Hill has been better. It's not all on the goaltender. I think the defense has let him down at times. The players in front of him has let him down at times. But they're not making the strong saves that sometimes that you need a goaltender to make. So it's kind of unfortunate. But yeah, there's still time to turn it around. But they're hanging on to a wild card spot, and they're really not out of. I mean, you look at the divisional picture. They are they're 6 points behind the Oilers now, but they're tied with the Kings in points for the third in the division. Minnesota's 4 points behind, but they've got a couple games in hand. And they're going to play Minnesota, I think, still this year, so that'll be important. The Blues are about 6 points behind. So, I mean, then the Kraken are 68, so they're not out of the mix either, but the big win over Seattle the other night helped So I don't know if, and then Calgary's kind of down there too, 10 points behind. It's tough to catch, but you got to be careful of Minnesota and St. Louis as teams that are right there. And, you know, so we'll see. And they're going to play those teams still coming up in this season. So, but again, if they can turn it around, I mean, they can still get third in the division. They can still get second in the division, although it seems like it's getting harder to get second in the division. And then, you know, obviously they can't get first place in the division. I think it's kind of out of reach at this point. But the main thing is you get in. And if you can get in and you get what, you know, you get your flow and you get your guys, you know, the guys that got you there last year, if Stone is available sometime in the postseason, if that's an option, they have their whole complement of players that they've had in the past, then they'll be a dangerous team in the playoffs, you know, but they got to get in first. And so, you know, they've got to be able to start getting some wins together. They got the win the other night in Seattle. They got the win against the Red Wings, but they need to, it's going to be an important week after tonight. They come home for four games next week. And that's going to be an important homestand. They're going to play, I think, who they play? They play the Blue Jackets, which should be a game that they should win. That's towards the end of the homestand. I think they also play the Devils on Sunday. Then I think they also play Tampa Bay. So that won't be easy, but, you know, we'll see.
Okay, let's do this. Take a quick break. Let's come back. Let's jump down to the AHL side of things and talk a little bit about that. I've got some sound as well from an Air Force Falcon. Made his debut with the Ontario Reign. I was there for both his first and second professional game, and lo and behold, he scored the game winner from half ice. We'll be right back to talk everything AHL in just a few minutes.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.TV. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.TV.
When you talk about the best of Las Vegas, you're talking about the best of the best. So when you're at Jesse Ray's Barbecue and you're a three-time winner of the Best of Las Vegas Award, it speaks for itself. At 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson, come and savor our People's Choice Award-winning barbecue ribs. Or maybe just come in and pick up a bottle of our best in Las Vegas barbecue sauce to take home. Open 7 days a week, you can order online at jessereysbarbecue.com. And for an occasion that will be remembered for a long time, call us for all of your catering projects at Jesse Ray's Barbecue today.
From ITHSW Podcasts, this is the Pro Hockey West Report.
Indeed, it is the Pro Hockey West Report. Scott Sturendy with you tonight from St. Louis, Missouri, spending a good portion of the last 2 weeks and the next 2 weeks on the road with the NCAA portion of what we do. But we will be strong in the AHL department. Stephen Marsh, as always, my co-host, will be hanging things up in Las Vegas for us and keeping track of things in Henderson and all of those good things. And then I'll work my way back and be in Southern California towards the end of the regular season and, of course, into the playoffs. So let's dig in, Stephen. Let's go to the current Pacific Division standings. I'll give the first five. You go ahead and give the second five. Coachella Valley right now is holding on the number one spot with 78 points. The Tucson Roadrunners, 71 points. Colorado Eagles are in at third at 69. Ontario Reign in at 68. And those Bakersfield Condors, what are they doing? They're up to 66 points. All right, give us 6 through 10.
Number 6 is Abbotsford Canucks at 66 points. Number 7 is the Calgary Wranglers, 64 points. Henderson in 8th with 54 points. San Diego in 9th with 50 points. And San Jose down in the last place at 46 points. And, of course, as we know, the top 7 teams get in. So right now, if it were to start, Henderson, San Diego, and San Jose would be out of the playoff picture, and the other 7 teams would be in.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Start of the season, if I were to ask you
Oh, it's 10:35 p.m.
Yeah, I hit my watch. My watch is telling me all kinds of
now
things.
Now people know what time we're doing this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. If I would have told you at the beginning of the year, teams 6 and 7 in the Pacific Division would be Abbotsford and Calgary, what would you have said to me? Go see a doctor? Get my temperature taken? Something wrong?
You should do that anyway, but always good to keep your checkups and making sure you're healthy and everything. But I certainly would have been a little bit surprised with Calgary because of how strong they were last year, but there's been some changes there. And right now, and I don't know, and probably for the foreseeable future, they don't have their top goaltender, Dustin Wolf, who's with the Calgary Flames and is about to get a win here against the Golden Knights, as they're now 4-1, the Flames. But, it's I think so that's probably a factor, but they've also had some other changes. So it just shows you how strong the division is. But I would have surprised that Calgary's kind of hanging on right now. They're in the last playoff spot right now. And then you've got I'm surprised a little bit by Abbotsford, but maybe not as much. Last year they were a good team, but they were kind of a middle-of-the-pack team. I think they ended up in 5th or 4th last year, so they're kind of where they were last year a little bit. And really, because it's so close, they're only 3 points out of 3rd place. And they also could be in 7th place because Calgary's got a couple games in hand on Abbotsford. So it's just crazy. And then Colorado's got a couple games in hand on Abbotsford. But I mean, Abbotsford could win 4 in a row and they could move up 3 spots. The one I'm surprised at is Bakersfield, although they've kind of fallen to earth a little bit, but they're still, you know, they're at a 6-4 pace right now in their last 10 games, and right now they're in 5th place. But this has been such a seems like some teams have been so so hot and cold. I mean, Ontario was out of the playoff picture. Now they've been on a great run, 8-1-0-1 in their last 10, and now they're up in 4th place and only a point behind Colorado, and only 3 points behind Tucson for 2nd place. But they were down and out of the playoffs a while back when they were having their little scuffles. And, and Tucson has kind of been 500 team, but they're at number 2 right now, and they've been at number 1 all year. So, it's kind of shaking out a little bit different than maybe we thought, but I think we expected some of these teams to be where they are, but maybe how they got there is a different story.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. I think I kind of figured Coachella would come back. I like what Dan Bylsma does. I like how he takes his team. I like their talent level. They've got probably, again, 4 or 5 guys that could make the jump to the NHL on this roster. They got great goaltending. So I'm not surprised at Coachella. Tucson, I kind of figured, was going to make their run. They've got some players back now. Dylan Gunther back with them, who was supposed to be an all-star. And then was up with the Coyotes at that time. They have a really solid decor. They got great goaltending. So I'm not surprised Tucson is where they're at. Colorado was on just a tear. They're still on a pretty good tear
They've lost 3 in a row, though.
Yeah, but they have lost 3 in a row. But before that, they were 7-0-0. So they were on a really good pace. Mm-hmm. And the team that I saw a lot, and I'm going to take credit for their rise because I was there when it started. I saw them play, I think, 4 or 5 times before I came out here to the Midwest. And, the Ontario Reign were really good. And my thoughts are that they're only going to get better. I think this is a great time to play the sound from a Air Force Falcon, a senior, a captain, 2-year captain at the Air Force Academy that was granted the opportunity to take a shot at professional hockey from the Air Force. He's still going to have to serve his duty after graduating. But Luke Rowe, I've known Luke for the better part of 4 years now. And I was excited when I heard he was signing with the Ontario Reign. And I was even more excited to find out that he was going to be in the lineup on 2 days that I was there. So let's hear from Luke after he scored his first goal, which was a CNI shot from center ice. You'll hear directly from Luke what he thought about scoring that goal. So here we go. Here's Luke Rowe, the the young defenseman for the Ontario Reign who's really starting to make an impact.
Think about it happening that way, but score your first goal and obviously a huge moment.
Yeah, definitely not how I was like you draw it up. I was trying to put the puck to the net a lot tonight, and I couldn't seem to hit the net. So the fact that that's the one that goes in makes me giggle a little bit. But, you know, it's just like the system here, just like get pucks in, go to work, and I just tried to get it in, and I got lucky.
So how did that play kind of break down for you, obviously, coming up and then trying to, you know, drill it toward the net, but how did that play kind of develop from your perspective?
You know, you just try to gain the red line and put it deep and let the forwards go to work, but when I got there, I had a little bit more time, and guys were driving on the weak side, so I figured, let's just put it to the net and see what happens. There was a lot of rebounds tonight, and, it just, I didn't even see it going. I turned around to change, and then the lights went out.
This week has probably been a crazy whirlwind. What are you feeling right now? What's your emotions? Like, just kind of getting through this week.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Like, I've been smiling since I got here, and the guys are incredible. Like, a team, to come in this late into the year, you'd think guys are kind of, they've been through battle together, you know? Like, they're very tight-knit. Not that they'd be, like, distanced to outsiders or anything, but you're coming in late to a group that's very close. But it has not been that at all. It's been so welcoming. Guys are answering any questions I have, which are just so many, and guys unsolicited are texting me, asking me if I have a ride anywhere, if I have any questions. It's an unbelievable group of guys, and they've been more than welcoming. So, I couldn't be happier with the week that I've been here. It's been, the guys here are incredible.
I want to go back real quick to the other night, your first pro game. What was that like? What was it like first getting that chance to step on the ice early and playing with Joe Hickets?
Playing with Joe Hickets is probably the easiest hockey I've ever played in my life. He makes everything so easy. He just talks. He's always where he's supposed to be. He always tells me where I'm supposed to be. And, like, he always finds the open guy. And it's just it's so effortless with him. He's just an incredible hockey player. The game was cool. I to be totally honest, not even trying to make a joke, I don't remember much of it. I was a little kind of up in the clouds, a little blacked out from it. But just because I was so nervous going in. But definitely a highlight of my life for sure, something I'll never forget.
What have the coaches tried to say to you? I'm sure Chris Hite's been all over you with video and trying to learn everything really quickly, but what are some of the things that they've tried to get you up to speed on here?
Yeah, the system's new to me. I mean, in college and juniors too, we played man-on-man the whole time in the D zone, and five on the dice is a little different. And when to switch it up and what we're doing off face-offs, the neutral zone, how they want me gaining a gap with a surf in the offensive zone and the neutral zone. But at the end of the day, like I was asking question after question, and Heider was fantastic. But he just said, you got to play hockey. So as much as the systems can kind of confuse you and get in your head and kind of scare you a little bit, at the end of the day, it's just hockey. And like I said, the guys have been incredible with that and kind of calming my nerves and let me know, like, that's all it is. It's just a game of hockey.
Obviously, it's a tough situation when you're leaving your team before the season's over. I'm sure you had a very close-knit group, and they're going into a playoff series and everything. But take us through, decision to join this team, and what are the factors that went into that decision and why you chose the ring?
Yeah, the Air Force gave me the go-ahead to continue my hockey career, which I'm so grateful for. And I'd spoken with them a little earlier in the year in the Ontario, and it just seemed like a fantastic fit. And it seemed like a place where I could step in and hopefully get in the lineup. So it's tough leaving the guys, but they're not going to skip a beat. They'll be great down at Air Force. They'll make a good playoff run. If they don't win at all, they'll be in the championship, I guarantee you. So, I'll miss the guys, but I'm talking to them a lot still, texting them, calling them, and staying with them.
I know it's fresh. It's a small sample size, but these two games, especially as someone who, has joined the team late, but maybe a little bit older than a guy who's typically jumping and playing his first reps. What's it like stepping in after playing in college, being maybe a little bit older and the same age as some of the other guys out there?
Yeah, with college, it's just very hard, and it's hard. And, if you get beat, like, you might have a chance or a second to make up for it. Like, not here. If a guy slips past you or you make the wrong step, the wrong read, the open man's going to get the puck and he's going to execute on it. And in college, you get a little bit of leeway with it. I'm so grateful for my time in college. It really taught me, like, it helped me find the kind of player I need to be. it got me like the hard grit attitude that a lot of college players have. And hopefully that'll carry me into a good pro career. We'll see. But yeah, it's just different. And I guess execution would be the big one.
Luke, it's kind of been seamless for two games, it seems like. The coaches trust you. They started you tonight. What have you done to get that trust so quickly?
That's a good question. I don't even know. I wouldn't say seamless just because, I'm shaking before games. I'm a little nervous to start. But and I have my hiccups here and there. Like I said, I'm just trying to play hockey and stick to the systems that they taught me. And when I make mistakes, the coaches are great. They let me know in a very constructive way. And yeah, I have been doing video with Heider a lot and learning every practice. And so seamless, I wouldn't say, but it's been fun. It's been good.
You look like you fit in. Does it feel like you fit in all right?
Like socially?
Yeah, well, no, just on the ice. I mean, you look like you're a pro already.
Oh, thank you. I don't know. Yeah, just trying to take it like day by day and hopefully earn my next shift every time I'm on the ice and earn my next game every time game ends.
Coach Sturm said he's calling you Air Force One already. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't like it. I really hope it doesn't stick. They said it's because I'm 41, so Air 4-1,
right.
Which I really don't like, but I think it's pretty corny. But yeah, a lot of the boys have said I've heard that. I've heard Lieutenant, LT, but Rosie's good, Rower's good.
So you arrived here in Ontario, and now you've been here about a week. What's been the biggest adjustment off the ice?
I'd say how much time you have and how they treat you like a pro. So in college, like when you're on the road or even on a home game, it's very regimented. You have like the time you're in the hotel, the time you show up, what you do, you warm up as a team off the ice. And pro, it's just handle your business like a man and whatever gets the job done, whatever you show up, whatever allows you to show up and play your best hockey, then that's what's expected of you. But I'd say kind of the free time and the treatment of how you're more of you have more leeway to do what you need.
Congratulations, nice goal, and continue it.
Thank you very much, appreciate it.
Yeah, that's Luke Rowe. Known the kid for a long time. He's not a kid anymore, 24 years old, but boy, what a lot of fun. And you know, that's why I love doing this job, is because I get to see these guys that I've followed along in college and interviewed. And you know, I just talked with him and did a lengthy interview as an Air Force Falcon captain who was winning award after award after award. I talked to him in November, I think, November, December. And now to see him playing in the AHL, and the fortunate end of it for us anyway is that he's playing in the Pacific Division, and Ontario's playing well. So who knows how long they'll be playing. They may play a few playoff rounds.
Yeah, so that's why you need to get back to California, because you may have a couple of California teams to be following there in the playoffs. It would be nice if one of the matchups ends up being two California teams, because Southern California teams, it makes you travel a little bit easier to go either between Ontario or Ontario to, if Bakersfield, that's not too bad, or whatever. But I'm surprised he's not calling you Scotty, but I guess because he's an Air Force guy, he's a little bit more formal and stuff.
He just calls me Sir.
Just calls you Sir. There you go. Yeah, you expect him.
I love that kid.
An Air Force.
I really do. He's been such a great interview. Every time I've needed something from Air Force, there's a guy I go to. It's Luke Rowe. Like I said, a 2-year captain. It's really unusual the way things played out. COVID left him with an extra semester. He played it, but then
he didn't qualify for the playoffs, right? For Air Force's playoff.
And Air Force. Said, okay, you can play the semester, but when that's over with, it's over. And that was during the regular season. And he didn't have any more time, and the Air Force is the Air Force. But kudos to them for allowing him to make a step up and continue his pro career. That's, I believe, the second military academy player that has been able to do that. Colin Bielik was the first from Army a couple of years ago that was given that, afforded that opportunity. And that was a decision that was made under the previous administration. So as much as I may not agree with all the policies from the previous administration, that was one. Luke is probably going to be the last one.
Are you talking about the administration, I mean the occupant of the White House?
Yes. And that's not in place now under the new administration. So unless something changes, Luke will probably be the last college hockey player.
Well, that previous occupant is also
forwarded to that.
That previous occupant's also up for occupant for the next 4 years going forward here, so it's possible.
Yeah, so who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? But anyway, great to catch up with Luke. It was awesome that he signed when he did, and I was able to be there and witness it. We had a little talk afterwards, and he was happy that I was there, and I was equally as happy that I was there. So it's always nice to see a familiar face, I think, and his eyes lit up when he saw me in the hallway, because he didn't realize that I had Pro Hockey West Report as well.
Yeah, you're just everywhere.
Something like that. I'm tired right now. I can tell you I am very tired right now. And we've got the women's...
Do you want to start doing ECHL stuff now too?
No, we got the women's quarterfinals tomorrow at the ACHA National Tournament here in Maryland Heights. We have the semifinals on Saturday, and then the championship game on Sunday, and a few of our partners are still alive. Minot State, Liberty, and let me see, who am I missing? No, we have one more team somewhere in there. So anyway, we'll keep track of what they do as well. But getting back to the Pacific Division.
Well, before I wanted to make a point, because we talked about the trade deadline the first part of this. Well, after we got through the, good part of the first part of the show. And the one thing I think, and this kind of ties into the AHL side of things, because with trading deadlines, a lot of times can affect AHL, because a lot of times you may give up a younger prospect that's in your AHL organization. But, you know, looking at all the, looking at the trades, and I didn't see all the makings of all of them, but it didn't really seem like that the AHL rosters of these teams were really affected all too much. When we talked about Ben Myers and stuff, but, you know, he goes from one to another, but it didn't really seem like the rosters of the AHL teams were really all that affected too much from these trades. Did it seem that way to you?
Well, certainly not in the West. I mean,
in the East. Well, that's what I'm talking about. The West. We're talking about Pacific Division teams because that's what we focus on. I mean, but from our coverage areas, the Pacific Division, it didn't seem like the rosters were too shaken up from trades from their NHL.
No, I think San Diego was obviously affected a little bit, and yeah. I said Tucson getting Dylan Gunther and Michael Kesselring.
Well, yeah, they got bumped up because the Coyotes got a couple of their players, some of their players out, so that makes room for those guys to go up. Yeah.
Right, but I think that's really it. Those are the only two teams that really were affected by it. So it's unusual because normally I think you see a lot of that happening where maybe some of the prospects in their AHL franchises are sent packing as part of it. But
which is you expect that because that's part of your development is you get these guys, you draft them, you know, you hope that maybe they can be mainstays on your NHL rosters, but if not, if they're if you're in a position where you're in a win now and they're kind of 3 years before getting an opportunity and you're trying to maybe get really good players. I mean, Vegas has been really good at doing that, developing some of these prospects and draft picks that they have and then using them to get these really skilled players, these veteran players. And so you see that sometimes with these other teams that do that, but it didn't really seem like that you saw too much of that this time around where the AHL guys were going from one team to another as part of trades with their NHL clubs.
No, what you do see a lot in the East, some names that were familiar to me, Spencer Knight in Charlotte moved around a little bit. Some of the guys, Antti Raanta, who was in the goaltending rotation with the Hurricanes, is now part of Chicago. Tony D'Angelo. Guys that I've seen in college, Antti Tuomisto, who was a Denver Pioneer. You look down this list and you go like, oh, and the big move for San Diego was sending Jacob Peralt from Anaheim, and they received Jan Majacek back. So Laval involved in that one. And I think the interesting thing for me is Rochester, Buffalo's affiliate, had some shuffling going on in their goaltending section. They have some really good college goaltenders. Devin Cooley was shipped out to San Jose. Devin Levi, You had a chance to visit with him when he was in Vegas. His assignment to the Americs on June 27th meant that the top prospect is going to get some extensive playing time. So there's a lot of shuffling going on in the East, not so much in the West. Here's another thing that's interesting. The Hershey Bears have already clinched a playoff spot. Yeah. They're going to the Calder Cup playoffs already. 15 games remaining.
Yeah, they're the first team to clinch a playoff spot. They're at 88 points right now. They're at 42-11-4. I mean, we thought last year Calgary's record was really good, and it was, I think, the best regular season record in history. Well, this could surpass that. I'd have to compare the two and see where they're at compared. But the Hershey, they're only 5-3-2 in their last 10 games, though, so they've kind of struggled a little bit, if you want to call it that. Just shows you how good that they've been. That this is probably the roughest stretch for them, and they're, they're still 42-11-4. They're 13 points ahead of their next closest opponent, which is the Providence Bruins, who have been playing better themselves. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And then the other team that's been such a story this year in the American Hockey League, got high up in the record books in regards to their streak, was the Milwaukee Admirals. They had a 17-game win streak. It finally got snapped. But, really since then, they've kind of scuffled a little bit. They're 0-2 streak. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games, but their record is 37-16-1, and they've got a 10-point lead over their most recent the team that's just below them, if you want to call it that, 10-point gap, Grand Rapids. And for them, they were playing good for a while, but they're on a 5-game winless skid, but they had, I think, won the previous, so it's crazy. But it's the Pacific Division's been so strong, and yet the other divisions, it's really been one or two teams. It's basically Milwaukee in the Central Division that's been really good. Grand Rapids has turned it on now, and there's a few more teams that are above 500 in that division, but still pretty strong. And then you've got, you got a couple of teams that are good in the North Division, but it's basically one or two teams. And then Hershey, and Providence, but then other teams are kind of around 60-67. So, but the Pacific Division is, all seven playoff teams are above 500, and well above 500, like 8 games above 500. Calgary's a 571 percentage. The next lowest team is Henderson, who's been really struggling, and I think is really in some trouble. They just can't seem to figure things out. And they've gotten their guys back from the Golden Knights, but the offense has really dried up and stuff. So it's really been tough. And unless something really changes, Aaron, and the crazy thing is, there's 18 games left. If you can get on a streak and win 8 or 9 in a row, which we've seen, I think there's still enough time where they could probably, because they're going to play Abbotsford this weekend. So they're 10 points behind Abbotsford. There's basically even amount of games there. Abbotsford won less game played. So if they can win those couple of games there, then they'll be all of a sudden 6 points behind, and then they kind of have to make up somewhere down the road. But they had an opportunity with Tucson, got beat both games this past week with Tucson. They before that they were winning one, but then they were losing one, and it's hard to kind of gain momentum when you're winning a game and then you're losing a game. And then the last couple of games, they just haven't been able to get any offense. So it's tough, but it's not insurmountable. It's only 13 games left, though, so they have to do it in a hurry if they're going to try to catch these teams. But
here's one thing that I think is interesting. Hershey and the phenomenal play that they've had all year, if you look at the loss column, they have 11 losses. If you look at where Coachella is right now, they only have 13 losses.
Yeah.
So with 16 games remaining to play, 15 for Hershey, there's a chance that Coachella could finish with or really close to the fewest losses. And I look at three things, Stephen. I look at how teams win, how many games they win, how many games they lose, and how many ties they have. But I think the number of losses in regulation is equally as important as the number of wins in regulation, because if you can, Coachella's on a streak right now where they're not losing very much.
7-1-1 streak right now.
And who knows? Who knows where they can end up? So I think that's exciting. I think we'll watch it all the way along.
Well, what about if it's Coachella and Hershey again in the Calder Cup Finals like it was last year?
Goodness. My diabetes will be way out of check as I'm eating Hershey bars again to try to propel our Western Conference and Pacific Division team to the to the victory.
I mean, Coachella's. I mean, showing right now they're in their run right now that they're doing what they did last year. I think there's enough of a gap that they've got a 7-point gap right now between them and Tucson, so it's likely they're going to finish with the one seed, but it's not locked up. In fact, no team has officially clinched a playoff spot in the Pacific. As you mentioned, Hershey is the only team that is officially clinched. But you know, I mean,
don't be surprised if Coachella,
but it could happen.
Finishes number one because they want that number one spot. Last year they didn't get it. Calgary got it, and they want it this year. They know the importance of it.
Well, I'm trying so. Henderson has got 54 points right now, 13 games remaining. So if they were to win every game, which probably isn't likely, but if they were to win every game, that'd be 26 more points. So that would give Henderson a maximum of 80 points. So Coachella's only 3 points away from that. But then San Diego, we didn't mention this, San Diego is 5 points, 5 games less than Henderson, and they're only 4 points behind. So it could be very soon that San Diego is climbing over Henderson into eighth place and could be making a push. I mean, they've got a ways to go, and it's probably not likely they'll get in. But if they were to cash in the four games that they have in which is where we're not talking about Bakersfield having the game. It's now teams that have played fewer games than Bakersfield. But San Diego, if they were to win all those games, that'd be 8 points. All of a sudden, they're within 8 points they'll be within 10 points of Calgary if they win the two games in hand. They'll be 54 points, and if they were to be 60. So it's not out of the possibility that San Diego could make a push and maybe get close to a playoff spot.
And they got a big win the other night.
Yeah.
2-1 victory over Ontario. So
yeah, and if Henderson drops below them, then they're going to have to jump over two teams to get in, and it's just going to get really tough. But, yeah, I mean, it seems like it's going to be Coachella, the number one seed, but you never know. But it's going to make it – It's
going to be an interesting playoff run, I can tell you that.
Well, it'll be an interesting playoff run. Like we said, the rosters could be about the same, but then they, you know, as some of these other teams bring up some players if they're out of play. But, I mean, Coachella's NHL club at Seattle, they're kind of pushing. So, I mean, they're Tucson's Coyotes, so maybe that'd be one where maybe their roster may get a little poached if the Coyotes want to try some bring some of the AHL guys up to give them some NHL games. The Eagles is the Avalanche, so other Avalanche are, you know, they've got their guys right now. I mean, there's always injuries that could always affect this and bring guys up. And I only mention that because it can really change a roster if you lose some guys to whether they want to give them opportunities to play with the big club. Although Bakersfield's Edmonton, Abbotsford's Calgary's, you know, but. There's not a lot of we're always seeing what Calgary's being affected. I mean, they've had some call ups to the Flames, and it's including their goaltender, and it's affecting them. So, of course, Henderson's been dealing with it kind of almost the whole year. So it's kind of why they've been struggling where they are. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And then, of course, we're going to have college players that get signed. I don't know if they'll get signed after the NCAA season plays.
Some guys will start next week.
That'll help some rosters if teams go down that route and sign either the guys if they're drafted, sign them to their pro deals or whatever, or just an amateur tryout or whatever. However many different avenues you could do to get some college guys on your team, as you kind of see this time of year too, after teams end their NCAA season, whether they make the tournament or whether they're out after the next week or so when those games end.
Well, let me tell you right now, this is a deal with that, and then we got to go because we are way over time again.
But the
college players will be able to start signing as soon as they're eliminated, and they're all in playoff mode right now, and the teams can be eliminated as soon as tomorrow night in some leagues. So, and the very latest anybody would be eliminated would be after the NCAA Frozen Four, which is the 13th, I believe, of April. So some games left of the regular season.
Well, by then the regular season's almost over with, but still you would probably...
You still have 2 weeks.
But I don't believe that they would
7 days.
And I don't believe, though, they would be eligible for playoffs. So or maybe they would be. I don't know how that works exactly. I think you have to play a certain amount of games, I would think, there's a certain deadline you would have to pass, I think, but I'm trying to remember. Last year, I think the college guys signed later, and
yep.
I think they got to still play in the playoffs, so I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll say goodnight, so take it away.
You should ask your watch what time it is right now there in St. Louis. as I do this.
My watch says it's too late. You're 5 minutes over.
It's time to go to sleep, right? Is that what it says? This has been the Pro Hockey West Report, brought to you by Jets Pizza, with over 400 locations in 21 states, including, I think, the state you're in right now. Find the location near you at jetspizza.com. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos. Become a Caesars Rewards member and get the most out of every stay at Caesars Resort. By Toyota, support the dealers that support hockey in your community for your next car. Desert Toyota in Tucson, Peterson Toyota in Fort Collins, Toyota of the Desert in Cathedral City, California, and Findlay Toyota in Las Vegas. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, cater your next party or office lunch with the best of Las Vegas barbecue at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. T-Mobile, get a new iPhone on us. Go to T-Mobile.com to find out how. FedEx, the official delivery company, IceTimeHockeyWest.com. The Pro Hockey West Report and all of the Ice Time Hockey West podcasts are live every week on the Podbean app and is available to all of your favorite podcast platforms. Search ITHSW Podcast, all one word. Subscribe, rate, and review the shows. Help others find us. The Pro Hockey West Report is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done, my friend. We'll say goodnight with little Roger Klein, the Peacemakers De Niro. Ask everybody to join us again next Thursday for another The Pro Hockey West Report.
Just a plug for our social media. People can follow us at @ProHockey_West on X, our Instagram. We want to get that going as we continue to build that. Pro Hockey West Report on Instagram. There's a video of Thomas Hertl. We got to talk to him on Monday, the Vegas media, so people can listen to part of that. I recorded about 6 minutes of the whole 13 minutes of that he ended up speaking to us. So that's up on Instagram. And as we go to games and we have videos and stuff, we're trying to post more there and stuff. So help us build that, as well as in addition to the subscribing to the podcast, as I mentioned, and follow our other social media as well.
All right. Good night, everybody.